podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Jay here for full time. No, I'm not here. Leave that in. I need to learn. Jay here for Stretford Paddock, not Full Time Devils. Was Full Time Devils. It's now Stretford Paddock. And this is the Devils podcast.
I can see
we're
confused.
That's what got me confused. Joining me today are two far more professional people than I am.
Absolutely.
Joe Smith, who never makes that mistake.
Hello.
Hello, Joe. And Alex Bagley. And me and Baggers, we were just talking about Sale, weren't we?
It's great, isn't it? It's just a weird place. It's great, and then it's not all in the same on the same street.
Yeah,
innit?
And you've got like Millionaire's Row, and then you've got like the Racecourse or Sale West.
Sale West.
Sale, by the way, is a sort of suburb outskirt of Manchester. Yeah. For anyone who isn't from Manchester,
and even doesn't know
to be fair, some people who are here may not know
where Sale is.
I've lived here for 5 years and I've never been, or seven
Sale.
Years.
We'll have a night out in Sale. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I'll meet you there. Romelu Lukaku.
Dropped right into that.
Straight into it.
Romelu Lukaku, yeah.
You may have noticed it on social media because one or two people tweeted about it if you didn't see the game between Inter and Shakhtar Donetsk.
The Belgian Pelé, you mean?
The Belgian Pelé, yeah.
Belgian
right.
Great
he scored. He said some nice things about Manchester United. He scored for the 10th Europa League game in a row, which is a new record, I believe.
It's impressive.
Yep, it is impressive. Lots of people are tweeting, we shouldn't have sold him. Look at what he's doing. Other people are saying, well, he had to go. He wasn't performing. His record against the top six, etc., etc. Joe Smith, where do you stand on Romelu Lukaku's departure? Was it the right idea?
Of course it was the right idea. People are just shit. And you can
say, you can butter it. Can you change that title, please?
You can butter it. You can make it. You can twist it to what you want. You can clarify and glorify and do whatever you want. People are just shit, aren't they? When he left, the memes, the videos, the literal circus music playing over his first touch compilations from fans. Look at your striker, 75 million. Look at who you've got up front. And then now he goes to another team and scores, which he has done his whole career, which we knew he would do for a good manager, for a team that didn't win the league when, Juventus, who can't find a midfield if one drops on their lap, they still didn't win the league. They might win the second best European competition, which would be their first trophy in 9 years, and all of a sudden, oh, he's the man that would have done it. Our front three scored more than it ever did when he was in it. We've allowed progression for Martial, for Rashford, for Greenwood. He's not the sort of player that suits Ole's system. We know that because he was there to start with. Like, this idea that, oh, just because he scored a few goals means that he would have scored United an extra 33 or whatever he scored. Like, that's not how it works. He wouldn't have scored that many for United. He didn't, because remember when he was here and he didn't.
And he was shit.
The first season he scored a decent amount of goals in a system that suited him for a manager that wanted him. The second season he didn't score that amount of goals because the system didn't suit him and the manager didn't want him. What is people's obsession with, oh, you were wrong, look? He wasn't right for United. No. No one thought at the time it was a bad thing to get rid of him. No one thought that he wouldn't score goals for Inter. And now it's like, well, they're in the final, we're in the semi-final, so we must be shit again, and he's amazing.
I think this is the whole... This all kind of sums up this whole thing about people saying, well, look at Ollie, you should have kept Mourinho. Mourinho was doing a great job and all this, and you're selling these players and they're doing great elsewhere. Now, what happened was we had a manager who wanted this system. It was starting to work. There was elements of it that was looking okay. We finished second in the league. You can say how good or bad that was. He then didn't improve on that team and the team got worse. And you had players that didn't fit the system. You didn't have anyone that could cross a ball to a striker that needs someone to cross the ball to. Right? So it was never going to work. And that's why Mourinho ended up leaving. He didn't get Willian. He didn't get centre-halves. He didn't get all them players. He ended up leaving. Lukaku, we've got a new manager now. The way he plays football... A lot of balls into feet, a lot of relying on... You look at Martial, how many times he has to have a very good touch in the situations. Lukaku can't do that. That's not what he's going to do. If you wanted a striker that headed the ball... I remember, came up on Facebook the day for me, the clip of Gary Neville and Souness arguing at the start of the season, and Souness going, United need a goal scorer. And Gary Neville went, he had one. He sold him because he didn't do what he wanted him to do. That's not what United, if they needed a goal scorer, wanted a number nine that could just head the ball and score goals... would have one. They'd have had Lukaku. What we want is a striker that brings into play, brings in your left wing and your right wing for them to score goals, because that's not what Lukaku does. He doesn't bring other people into play. What he does is He bullies defenders. He turns them. He scores goals and he scores good headers. That's his way of playing. That's not how Ollie wants to play. So he was always going to score goals at Inter because guess what? All the players that United had, Ashley Young did well with him. There's a lot of times when Ashley Young's
got, I think, 4 goals in Serie A this season.
Yeah. Alexis Sanchez has got 10 assists. You've got would you have him back?
You've got players like Christian Eriksen who can put a ball in for him as well. And you've got a system where Conte sits back and then hits him on a counter-attack and allows Lukaku to run into a lot of space, which is what Lukaku is very good at. He's a strong athlete that goes into the space very well.
That goal he scored last night, the one where he just knocks it, squares his man up, knocks it past him, breezes past him, uses a bit of strength, puts it across. Great goal.
Brilliant.
He scored goals like that against United for Everton.
Yeah.
If you remember, was it Lindelof or maybe Chris Smalling who just breezed past and smacked the ball in? He's always been able to do that.
Yeah, so
I always think with Lukaku at United, I mean, you mentioned he scored goals and you're right, I think it's 42 goals in 96 games. But he's very fits and stats. He scored 10 in his first 10 games, I think.
Yeah.
And then he didn't score for another 10 games. So on paper, that says 10 goals in 20 games, which is a good record.
Yeah.
But then you've gone 10 games without scoring. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And then some of those games were against bigger teams. The Scousers, for example, that famous game where we drew 0-0, which sort of, our path sort of went in opposite directions then.
Yeah.
They kicked on with Klopp and we went sort of staggered forward with Mourinho and eventually, you know, it all ended in tears. So yes, he'll get you goals, but his ratio or his lack of goals against the top six hurdles.
Which has continued in Serie A, by the way. He's got 1 goal against the top 5 teams in Serie A.
And that's, you know,
if Twitter is to be believed.
Yeah, well.
And the Europa League Twitter is just.
But, you know, Europa League's playing against Shakhtar Donetsk.
It's our first decent test. It's like
certain strikers will work in certain systems. Certain strikers will get you the amount of goals, but you can be better off when they leave.
Yeah.
Now, the greatest goal scorer, the greatest striker I've probably ever seen in terms of his ability was Ruud van Nistelrooy. He's the best striker. I love Eric. I love Andy Cole.
Mm.
But for me, pound for pound, that's the best striker I've ever seen. Yeah, I think he won one title with United at a time when we used to win quite a lot of titles. And I'm not saying that, you know, that's down to Ruud's fault or anything, but sometimes when a striker who scores a lot of goals moves on, you find a system that works for the team in a better fashion, which is what ended up happening a couple of years further down the line when you had Rooney, Ronaldo and Tevez. Now, you know, obviously, Ruud left in different circumstances and whatnot, but Lukaku leaving has helped Martial, Rashford, and to a lesser degree, Mason Greenwood form this sort of attacking three that's worked. Has got what, 60 odd or 50 odd goals this season?
60 odd goals.
I think
more than the Inter's front three.
Yeah. So, and it's got longevity. All those players are under 24 years old, under 25 years old. So you can have them for another 5 years and they're only going to get better. So, what annoys me, and I'm with you on the show, is like, people see Lukaku and all automatically it's like, how can we make this about bashing Ole? How can we make this about having a dig at Martial or Rashford or someone? And it's not. You can think he's doing well at Inter, but we had to get rid of him. The two aren't like mutually exclusive where it's got like, if you think he's good, then we must have kept him.
And the whole way that, see, the thing is, you sort of want to say, well, let's not bring Twitter into it because it's known, it's people trolling, it's people taking the piss, it's people using stats and taking, you know, trying to get rises out of opposition fans and all that shit. But the problem is when that Twitter sort of mentality and those tweets then, you know, shape the way that the news is reported in the newspapers, which then
happens,
changes the way that the pundits talk about players and talk about people on television as well. It all feeds into each other. You can't just say, let's not talk about Twitter because it's known to be full of shit. You have to, because it affects and infects the whole media cycle on every platform.
Well, the same thing about the way that the Sevilla game was reported the other night of two defensive mistakes cost us.
Yeah.
But what we didn't look at is we had 33 shots in two games and scored. Yeah. And the only time we scored was two penalties. So we've not. If we score three goals out, if we should score more than three goals out of 33 shots,
yeah,
you know, that's what we should be doing. And the lads just had the front three had an off couple of nights where they just didn't take the chances. Mm. That's what should have happened.
Martial's got a better conversion rate
than instead, Lukaku. We're talking about how Harry Maguire's a waste of money, Brandon Williams should be out of the team, Wan-Bissaka's not as good as we thought it was going to. You're like, whoa, hang on a second. They've only conceded two goals in that long as well. It's
a bit lazy as well sometimes, like with the whole Lukaku thing. I don't mean to keep going to that, but if you watch Manchester United when Lukaku was playing for us, there was a time when it was frustrating to watch. Mm,
yeah.
Like, just watching the game, rather than just going to bits of paper or statistics, just actually sitting and watching a game of football and looking at it and going, you know what, this isn't working for him.
No.
This doesn't work.
No.
Him and his team ain't working.
I think that,
and I never get those feelings. Even when I get frustrated with Martial and Rashford and even Greenwood, I never get those feelings that I used to get with Lukaku, where I'm like,
just control the ball, man.
Yeah,
I can't.
There have been times I think anymore. Where he'd fit in this season. I think where that run of games where we were kind of sitting back against teams and we do well, but we've done well against them anyway. But in those kind of games, I think he'd have been a very good outlet. I think there's no doubt behind that. But
he's a good outlet to play the ball in behind for him to run onto. He's not someone you can chip a ball up to and he takes it on his chest with his centre-back behind him.
No.
He's not good at that.
No,
he's not a hold-up man.
No.
Despite his size and, you know, his strength.
He's not got that.
He's not a hold-up man. So he wouldn't have, like, that goal that Martial sort of worked against Brighton. Do you know where he's fighting for the ball in the middle? He takes a good control and then has to fight to get it back, and he plays it out to Greenwood on the left-hand side. We wouldn't have scored that goal if that was Lukaku. I think Martial, as a hold-up man, is as good as Lukaku is. His touch is better. His dribbling's better. He's not as strong as him, definitely, but he doesn't have that sort of imposing size that Lukaku does.
No.
But Lukaku isn't someone you can, like, chip it up to. You hold the ball up and bring others into play. That's not his style of play.
Ollie probably said to him, he said, look, we're going to keep you here, but you're not going to be how I want to play football. I want us to play football on the floor. I want us to play in like that.
Yeah.
You can stay here, and when we need a goal, he would have probably done what Igalo's done, and you bring him on now and again. And
but you can't have a
needed,
£75 million
player. But you can't have a £75 million pound player
and
like that.
He had that little purple patch under all, didn't he, when he scored 6-3 or whatever it was. Mm. He obviously scored
including
a couple in Paris.
PSG, yeah.
And even then, you got like Ollie would shift him out to the wing. Well, he obviously didn't fancy him.
He had a good game against Arsenal, the Emirates, in the FA Cup, where he played out on the right hand side. Just, well, it was like an inside forward almost, but he was just stretching play, that kind of thing. But he wasn't getting used as I think everyone thinks he can do, which is back to goal, control on the chest and play. And we've still not got the players that are going to put in loads of crosses for him to attack the ball. And that's not how Ollie wants to play. That's why we've signed someone like Wan-Bissaka, who's going to be a defensive first fullback. That's why we've got Marcus Rashford on the left and not Perisic. That's what Mourinho wanted. Perisic and Willian pinging crosses in.
Yeah, and like you said, with Igalo as well, it's all right to have a 31-year-old who is on loan as your sort of backup. You know, slightly more physical, slightly better in the air, slightly more traditional number nine. Because no one says, well, Igalo hasn't played in four matches and he costs you £75 million. You can't have your, at the time, second highest ever transfer fee player on the bench or playing right wing when he's one of the most prolific strikers in the world, which he is.
This is the thing as well. I think, I can't remember if it was me or Mac were talking about this the other day. Like, even under Jose, I remember Zlatan coming on at Old Trafford. I think it was against Spurs. I might be wrong. Can't remember who it was against, or Palace. And Lukaku was shifted out to the wing.
Mm.
And that was, you know, he was Mourinho signing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that long into his United career. And it's like, move over because Latham's coming into the number nine spot and you're going out on the wing.
Yeah.
And you think that sends a bit of a message to you, doesn't it? Because despite like the way he may come across Lukaku, you could see he suffers from lack of confidence sometimes.
Yeah, definitely.
He does. You know, you saw that at Old Trafford. And you think that's got to be a bit of a knock for your confidence when you're the new, as you mentioned, you know, second highest ever signing or whatever. You're the one who's going to lead the line. And it's like a few months into your United career, you're getting shifted out because Latin's coming back. I know it's Latin and he's like, you know, a demigod.
And he can't play right wing.
Yeah, but it's still like, you know, you wouldn't have shifted sort of
Van Nistelrooy
out to the wing or Dwight York or something like that. You know what I mean? It was like, it sends a message to you, doesn't it? That, you know what, we don't rate you that much.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, he obviously wasn't loved. He's gone to a club where he is. He's got a team around him. He's playing at a level which Serie A isn't at the same level as the Premier League. And I think the proof is in that, the fact that, as you mentioned, you've got Sanchez and Young absolutely shining when I don't even, at the barely
and,
Premier
and,
League
and
level.
And Smalling as well.
Yeah.
You've got a manager that wants that kind of strike. You know, Conte wanted him for Chelsea. That's why he ended up getting sacked, because he spat his dummy out when he didn't get him, ended up with Morata. He wanted Lukaku.
I think that hurt us as well. I think that summer, it was more or less either Lukaku and Morata, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And Lukaku was the best out of them two.
Definitely.
I don't think he was ideal
Lukaku
for United.
Lukaku was much better than Morata.
And I think Morata was almost useless to Chelsea.
Conte wanted Lukaku then. Mm. He knows what Lukaku does. He's seen what he does. He wants him in his system. And he's brought him in and gone, look, there you go.
Mm.
And it works. You know, these managers kind of know what they're doing now and again, where there's players that they see can fit their system perfectly. And Lukaku fits whatever Conte does very well with wing backs and things like that.
And I'm not trying to say that it would be easy for Inter to topple Juventus, and, you know, it's not. He's done very well there, Conte, but he's not brought Lukaku in brought Young in, brought Sanchez in, and smashed the league. No. Like he did in England with Chelsea, let's not forget.
What
like,
he did it, what he did with Chelsea was pretty phenomenal.
Amazing. He's, yeah. a, he's a fantastic manager, yeah. and he's yeah. improved Inter from this sort of floating, not no trophies in 9 years type of team to a team that looks like they're probably... might well win the Europa League and will be challenging for titles next season, which is excellent, and he's an excellent manager. Yeah. But if Lukaku had come in and scored 50 goals and won in the league, you might be sat there going, maybe even though it wasn't right for him at United, could we have done more to get this player out of him? He's got 33 Mate. Goals, he's looked good, but he plays in a different system in a in an easier league, let's
I,
be honest.
I remember when Diego Forlán went to Atletico and scored 40 goals in a season or something yeah. stupid. Like after
Should we have
left
kept
Old
it?
Trafford. And, you know, and this was Forlán who, despite his 2 goals at Anfield, which still makes him a cult hero, you know, went 20-odd games without a goal. Like, there's you can't just go, because he's gone there and done it,
back then.
We should have kept him. Yeah. That's not how
but
football
like you
works.
Said, the Van Nistelrooy example is the prime example of someone that was extremely good. But at the end of the day, Fergie went, do you know what, I don't like that system didn't work. Yeah. We wanted a more fluid front two or front three. What players that... And that was that same thing I brought before with Neville and Souness arguing. The same thing he brought is we got rid of Van Nistelrooy, brought in Louis Saha, yeah. who is never as good as Van Nistelrooy, but it worked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Rooney got better.
Kept and retained it.
Rooney got better, Ronaldo got better. Then we brought Tevez in, and then that front three was better than ever. Whereas Van Nistelrooy was a better player, better striker than probably all of them
yeah,
as a number
also,
nine.
Here's the other side to that. Van Nistelrooy went to Real Madrid and was the top scorer in Spain.
Yeah.
yeah.
He wasn't shit or finished or...
No.
He scored, what was it, 150 goals in 250 games for United.
Yeah. Yeah.
Incredible record. His goals in Europe were sensational. And he was successful. He still won stuff. Did he win the FA Cup when we beat Millwall? Was he in that team?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, so. You know, yeah. he won leagues. He did win stuff. But like you said, sometimes systems work different ways and you need different players. And he wasn't finished. There's he left more, United at 30.
There was an element of this as well.
And was amazing after that.
To a lesser degree with Lukaku, but there was issues with Rude. I think he wasn't getting on with everyone.
Yes.
Ronaldo had a bit of a spat.
But I think that was
I don't think Lukaku had a spat with anyone, but I don't think he was very popular.
It slowly crept in,
yeah,
though, didn't it?
I think like you could tell he wasn't, for want of a better expression, part of the gang. Where well, you could yeah. see like Rashford and Shaw and
well,
Lingard and Pogba are all mates. You always felt like Lukaku was a little bit on the outside of all that.
Well, you brought football.
That helps.
You brought Twitter.
Help, sorry.
Twitter. And I think that kind of got to him. I think that the fact that
he bites, doesn't he, on Twitter?
He was the one that was getting a lot of the abuse. He was the one getting the stick for the bad touch. And he was getting the one being called overweight and stuff. And look, essentially, you've got to say, well, do you know what? You've got to deal with it. As like you said, at Manchester United, you're going to get that. It doesn't matter how good you are. Rashford's had his best season ever. And he's been called Rashbeck this season. And again,
that's
do
a
not
compliment.
Kofferman, Trash,
you
of
don't get that.
Martial gets
yeah, you're right.
But yeah, and the thing is,
he's going to get that.
Manchester United gets more stick than any team, and sometimes when you're Lukaku, that stick is being used to hit you, and sometimes you are the stick being used to hit Man United, and that's all that's changed.
Yeah.
You're now the stick that is being used to hit Man United
it's
because
just, you know
it
what?
Makes United look bad. When you play for United, it makes United look bad that you're not playing very well. He just happens to be in the circle of. You're linked with Manchester United and we hate Manchester United. How can we use you for our benefit?
Because Inter Milan...
That's all it is.
Because that's it. Inter Milan, Sevilla in the final Europa League is no good for English papers. But what is good is a team that's just beat United with half of our team.
Why do you think he's getting asked about us?
Yeah.
Why is he getting asked about us in the press conference? And also,
you're not playing
Manchester United. Oh, it was good of Lukaku to say that. And I think he's a nice bloke. I'm not knocking him for saying what he said. But this whole thing of always magnanimous in victory. Anyone can be magnanimous in victory. That's easy. What, being nice after you won? It's when you've lost that I want to, like, oh, you know, United got through to the final, but you got dumped out. I don't think you'd have been as nice then.
He's such a good guy for being
happy and nice when he won.
He said some nice things, but you're right, like, the sort of scrutiny and the levels at United, you're getting it both barrels. Like, United fans are very demanding. Even now, we're still demanding and we still expect things. And, you know, like, it's like, it made me laugh. I posted something on Twitter about the 2008 team being like how amazing that was. And you look at that team, and it might replies that people reply, United fans going, I still can't get over that FA Cup loss to Portsmouth. And it's like, that's the thing you think about as United
fans. Always,
it does, like, because that's the sort of expectation. And then you look at the other side to that is, you've got rival fans, like, I've seen Arsenal fans, you've got nothing to shout about, tweeting pictures of young Sanchez and Lukaku going, you know, this is what happens when you leave a shit club. And you're like, really? Is that how you're going on when you finished in eighth? But you're going to get that scrutiny.
Yeah.
You're going to get that sort of criticism or
attention.
And do
you know why we get that scrutiny? Because we've been the best team for 30 years. That's why we got that scrutiny, because you build up a support, and then you build up the counter support based on people who are jealous, who don't like you, who didn't like seeing you win all these years. It's good that we're the biggest club. It's because that came off the back of how successful we've been, which is good as a fan. That's what you want. You would take the criticism if it comes alongside huge success.
It's like you
but
said,
that's
well,
how it is now, isn't it?
It works with newspapers in terms of clicks, and even going back to social media, if you tweet about United as an Ipswich fan, for example, you're probably going to get more attention if you tweet about City or Everton or something like that. If you put in your headline, Manchester United ex-striker Lukaku says Greenwood is good, you're going to get more clicks than, you know,
than him saying Martinelli is good.
Yeah, exactly. No one cares. So it's, you know, it's always, we're going to keep feeding that, and we're going to get used to it. And it's better to be that than irrelevant, I think. Talking of being on the ball.
Go on.
Paul Ince.
Oh, he loves it. He loves it.
I've only seen... anyone who didn't see this, Paul Ince, he was my hero as a kid. I almost cried when he left in 95. I was a kid, by the way, but I was gutted. He was on the telly.
You were 30 then, weren't you?
Yeah, I was 36.
65? Yeah, 30.
He's got a reputation for doing his Paul Ince, but he was on the telly last night, and he was talking about David Silva getting a statue at the Etihad. And he said, he sort of criticised it. He said, I don't know why I give him a statue. Give him a statue, everyone. He said, he's not in the same like sort of level. You look at likes of Bergkamp and Henry, and I don't see a statue of them outside the Arsenal, what he said.
It's almost that bad.
What's the problem with that statement, first of all, Joe?
In my eyes, there is no problem with that statement.
Right, okay.
The thing that people were pointing to is the fact that, sure, there are statues of both Bergkamp and Henry outside the Etihad.
You don't see a statue of Matt Busby outside Old Trafford.
All he said is, I don't see a statue of them. He doesn't go to the Emirates.
Ah, right,
he hasn't seen that statue.
Okay,
he just said, I don't see it. And he doesn't. He was in a studio. Of course he couldn't see those statues. Yeah. He wasn't there.
He was being literal.
Yes, he was being literal. Those statues exist, but Paul Ince didn't see them at the time. And it's as simple as that.
I was laughing that hour. My sister said to me, she went, like, skin on station, what are you laughing at? I was just like, Paul Ince. I should rewind it once again. It's so funny. But like, he has got form for this, Paul Ince.
Did someone point out to him on the...
Did they know? Like, Jake Humphrey and Owen Hargreaves. I don't know.
They might not know.
They might not know, or they might just think, he's just Ince, isn't it? Just leave him. Just leave it. Like, don't.
It's almost like he selected them two players as well. There's so
it's
many
so
players.
It's so brilliant. It's almost comical genius.
You're a Manchester United player who's played with players that have done the same thing. You could have picked Cantona, for
example.
Also,
I was going to say, there are no modern era statues of Man United players, are
no.
there?
No, not modern ones. No,
so, and you could have picked any of the Premier League winning footballers and picked
you could have played
Cantona,
the players
Giggs,
you played.
Scored,
no,
like,
not just that, the players you played with.
Robson. Pick any
you
of them.
Just gone, right, I know there's players. I know these lads personally. I've lived with them, you know, and all this kind of stuff. I can pick them. Yeah. No, I'm going to pick the two lads from another club that do have statues. That's my example.
It was almost like scripted. It was that good. It was that bad.
Brent.
Yeah,
it was Brent.
Brent. Like, he literally chosen the two most recent statues, I think, at the Emirates. Like, that have been unveiled in the last couple of years.
They're not even hybrid statues. Yeah. They're Emirates.
Yeah.
They were in the last few years.
And pointed them out and was like, and what I love about it as well is that conviction of like,
you don't see
Bergkamp and Henry. Why are you doing him a statue sort of thing? And like, I don't know whether Jake Humphrey and Owen Hargreaves just think, well, we're not going to get into that. But he has got form for Annie Pollins. You said like he did say.
Yeah,
he's
just
a clip of him the other day where he spoke about United winning the league for the first time in 26 years. Obviously, he was a part of that. And in a minute, I counted four things he got wrong. Like he said, like, you know.
It wasn't four things he got wrong. It was everything he said was wrong. It was like he only made four points and they were all out by 2 years.
He said, like, we won the league in 93, you know, the year after it was just after we came back from winning the Cup Winners' Cup and then we won the league.
It's like we had the confidence from beating Barcelona. That was 12 months before.
Yeah, that was. Then he said Roy Keane played a big part in it. Roy Keane didn't play for us the first time we won the league. Then he said Brian Robson moved on after that summer. No, he didn't. He had another season with us. Then he said Matt Busby died just after we won it, which he didn't.
He died a year later.
It was like, it was just like, it was so many things.
All those things, you need to get them right, don't you?
Yeah, but he said it again with that confidence of a man. And this was the team he played in. He was talking about how he played alongside Roy Keane when he first won the title.
He didn't, mate.
So,
he
I don't know. There. Maybe he's just a bit ditzy, a bit quirky. But he had something, though, because
it's entertaining.
The post-match analysis of Inter beating Shakhtar isn't
would never usually get clips on Twitter.
Yeah,
that's what he's good at. Put him on a... I don't think he's got the nous or the the kind of the, I mean, clearly the memory to kind of, and the references and the tactical skill to break down big games. But if he's, you know, severe Inter, he's made that a watchable, enjoyable show.
Do you think that these companies now are actually getting people on, though? Do you think they are getting regular slots because they're ridiculously bad?
His star rose with the Ollie thing.
Yeah.
It did. He went from barely
being... I could have done that job.
He went from barely being spoke about, barely on the telly. Like, he's still getting media work. Obviously, he said it whilst he was on the telly. But all of a sudden, he was the most spoken about pundit. For all the wrong reasons. But all of a sudden, he was on every week. He was on BBC. He was on BT.
But you see it like, you know, Robbie Savage was, for a long time, the biggest reason people spoke about him was because he said outlandish things that were wrong or untrue. And then Garth Crooks had a similar thing where he would... It was a lot of ridicule towards him, wasn't it? Because he would say these crazy things and put players in his starting 11s who didn't even play that weekend and stuff.
Even a week and he's injured.
He played four minutes that year, but he scored a goal. Just looking through this, so stuff like that. But like certain people, that their brand is kind of getting a bit wrong, being a bit controversial. Whether that's because you're saying things that are aggressive and untrue, or maybe a bit nasty, like Souness is that kind of way, and Savage is a bit more on that side.
Don't
and
then you've got Souness the kind of
getting things wrong. It's a bit funny to laugh at them type people. I think there's room for everything.
Souness just doesn't think. It's just like it just. I don't know how he's still there. Honestly, I don't know how he's still there.
I think it's like you're commenting without watching anything or looking into anything. It's like, you know, I remember the Moise Keane thing where he was just like, there was obviously an issue with him.
Because
he's 19 years old and he's had his start and there's the problems with him. And you think, well, there's no analysis there. You've not looked at his career and gone, oh, well, this has happened or this system doesn't suit him or anything. You're just coming out with a comment like off the cuff. And, you know, the whole Pogba thing just got beyond a parody. Where it was like you'd ask him about Martial and he'd somehow pivot towards Pogba.
Well, the fact that he was talking about him and slagging him off when he'd been injured for 4 months.
Yeah.
You're like,
he's a good player, but. Like, he's a good player, but you've got to ask yourself what's the problem with him? Why has he got an attitude issue and all this sort of. With undertones to it.
The whole thing with this Lukaku, again, that clip that came off the Lukaku argument that they had, and he's constantly saying United need a goal scorer. It doesn't matter who, they just need a goal scorer.
Yeah.
Gary Neville's going, he had one, he sold him.
Yeah.
There's a reason why he wants to play with Marcus Rashford, who is a very good left winger, or left inside forward, whatever you want to call him, who's going to score goals from that position. He wants to play with Martial, who is a very good footballer. And then he's going to develop Mason Greenwood. At that point, he was playing with Dan James, who was, you know, pressing, doing things that Lukaku can't do. He couldn't. You can see him when he tried to run last year. There was times when you just see him when he came on under Ollie. He did a bit of the work, fit, and then he's just like, like I was doing it.
There's that thing as well, that story when he went to Inter where he's got some gastric problem or some kind of issue where the Inter medical staff noticed this problem he had, changed his diet slightly, stopped him eating spinach or cheese or whatever it was, and then he lost 6 kilos, you know, quite quickly. And again, that's, you know, I'm not saying that's not true or that, you know, whatever, but that was used as another thing of like, problem solved then. He wasn't fit at United. Under Mourinho, who is notoriously allows his players to lose fitness over time. And then he goes to Inter, this magic thing, and now he's taking a paracetamol a week and he's lost 4 kilos. You're like, exactly. A cup of beetroot and a rice cake or whatever it is. and then next thing you know, he's lost 4 kilos and his fitness is back. Yeah, like, it's all just like, look at this turnaround quickly, and now United is shit and he's great again. It's always not as ridiculous as it looks.
So going back anyway.
Sorry.
David Silva, does he deserve a statue?
Considering like the level of Manchester City legends, he probably does.
Does he deserve one over Aguero or Kompany or Fernandinho or Joe Hart?
I personally would put Torre ahead of all of them. I think Torre's the closest you've got out of all the City players to almost winning it single-handedly in 2014.
I think
that was a ridiculous.
I think
good
that
season.
Three, Kompany, Silva, Aguero is that's been their spine for whatever.
But like Torre, in the FA Cup 2011, the league in 2012, the league in 2014 where he scored 20 goals in the league. Yeah. Like,
I think just the fact that
people go on about Aguero, he was very good. He's very good. QPR, but
very good. You know, and that was it. But
and I know, I think won three rather than four.
That's it. I think Kompany, Silva, and Aguero have done it over into Guardiola. And well, that's where I'd kind of just have. I mean, him. Not above him, but that's where for City anyway. They've done it for a little bit longer.
I know I've sort of pissed on Twitter, but I don't really care.
No, I don't care either.
Because it's like, you know, I mean, they've got. I think one of the I've been at the Etihad. Obviously, we all have, and it's like the Joe Mercer way. Things like that, and there was that thing with the Colin Bell end or whatever it was, the Colin Bell stand
and he's called him a bell end, and there's no need for that.
No, I wasn't calling him.
There's no need for that on the day.
No, because it was like a joke, wasn't it? Like United fans are voting for it, so it's going to be called the bell end, and it was like, you know, but my point is these players have won more than those so it doesn't surprise me that he's going to get a statue. Yeah. And it's like, you know, it gives a shit, really, truly.
It's just,
you know,
it's not like we're going to go and put red flares on it when we win the league in a few years, is it? We don't have to worry about it.
Even City fans aren't going to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think at some point there'll be a Class of 92 statue at United? Because thinking, surely there has to be...
Right, I will tell you now, and you can record this.
You're going to chisel...
If Phil Neville gets a statue outside Old Trafford, legs off. I'm not setting foot in Old Trafford ever again.
But what about if it's that... arms on the shoulders, but you know, all of them in there like that, with the coach as well.
And they cut that.
Would you be happy with that?
No, you can't have a statue of Phil Neville outside Old Trafford and not have one of Keane or Brian Robson or
Phil Neville is
my brother's legend.
Phil Neville
is
a piece of the most famous youth team of all time that was the catalyst. That whole team was the catalyst of United's most successful period in history.
Right.
Nicky Butt's going to be on
the... It's a slippery slope with the statues.
I get the whole thing, right? I get the Class of 92 thing, and I love Gary Neville and Giggs and Butt and Scholes and Beckham. But I think we have to... Like, it gets overplayed a little bit. Like, 96, yeah? Beckham, Scholes and Butt, they played a massive part in Giggs, but, you know, Eric Cantona was unplayable towards the end of that season, even though I don't like him. Peter Schmeichel was... He was amazing that night at Newcastle. St.
That'd
James's.
Be a great statue as well. Yeah. That'd be an ace statue.
Say, no. To that.
It wouldn't happen.
You know what I mean?
Like, there is one. Would you rather a statue of Phil Neville or Peter Schmeichel?
Phil Neville.
All right. Okay.
Can we have Peter Schmeichel's cartwheeling in the city?
What about if the Phil Neville one was designed by the same bloke who designed the Ronaldo one? Would that make you feel better?
So yes. Front and centre. Yeah. We'd have that
it's
right side
all the time. With the statues.
No, it is. And I think you've got, like, because... Like, we've got a lot of, a lot of legends. Bill Foulkes, for example, does he not get a statue? Played, 800 games or 700-odd games. Why is he not getting revered? Or, you know, we've got so many legends at United, and we have.
Yeah.
That it's like, well, you can't have... Well, even Beckham, like, he's a legend, but is he more of a legend than Keane?
It's weird to see what will happen.
No, probably not.
It's weird to see what would happen in 30 years' time, because you see Rooney getting one. Rooney
getting a stand. Exactly, Rooney won everything.
Bobby Charlton's got the Trinity, but he hasn't got, like, his own one.
He's got his own stand.
That's true.
there's a Matt Busby Wade, there's a Matt Busby.
Do you give it?
Because Dennis Law's got two, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's got one at Stretford End, I think. I stand there. I've not seen it, but I know it's there. And
it's inside, I think.
Yeah, it's inside. Yeah. It used to be. I don't know if they moved it. And obviously, you've got like the memorial stuff in the Munich and stuff like that. And I don't mind statues. And I think, you know, the Fergie one, obviously, the Busby one. I'd tell you one thing.
They both need to be
the next statue at Old Trafford has to be, no, not even Eric, has to be Jimmy Murphy. It has to be, because I, for starters, don't think they should have done one with Matt Busby and not Jimmy Murphy. I get why they did, but Jimmy Murphy kept the club going after Munich. Matt Busby said he was my most important ever signing. Was there every game with Sir Matt. When it looked like Manchester United were in trouble of continuing, you know, there's a thing that if you ever go to Carrington, to the training ground or to the press bit there, there's a little sort of, I don't know what you call it, like a, not a memorial, but sort of like a display that's eulogising him. And it says, like, you know, he kept the flag flying high for us.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Murphy, you know, did keep the club going, discovered all them youngsters, nurtured him, and after Munich, kept it all going. You know,
it might be good to have one, a statue of him at Carrington, maybe.
Maybe. I think if you have one at Old Trafford, I just think that. Yeah. I would like to see one of him next to Sir Matt. I think there were a pair. Obviously, Sir Matt was the main man.
Yeah,
I do think there should be one of Jimmy Murphy. And I think if we are going to have another statue at Old Trafford, the next one should be Jimmy Murphy, because he was a massive part of this club. And I think no one's going to go to Old Trafford and go, oh, I didn't know David Beckham played for United. Oh, I didn't know Ryan Giggs played for United. Yeah, yeah. There will be people at Old Trafford who go, so who's Jimmy Murphy?
Yeah.
And it might help them learn a little bit about our history because, you know, we should be proud of that, the fact that we, you know, we came back from it and he's a big part of that. So, yeah, statues. If there's one of Phil Neville before there's one of Jimmy Murphy, I'm out.
Fair enough.
Got someone for the watch along here in the game now.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't really care that City have got a statue, do you?
No.
Doesn't matter, does it?
It's up to them.
Nothing. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is,
it's only going to be small as well, isn't it? Presumably, even if it's life size,
it'll have a big bulge in its pants. have you not seen that video? The photo of him in the changing rooms. Oh, come on! Don't tell me.
I honestly have never seen that photo.
Have you not seen it? There's a picture of him in the changing rooms.
Right.
And let's just say Mrs. Silver's a lucky lady.
More gold than silver, would you say, in terms of medals?
Jesus. Oh, wow. I'm just saying.
Maybe he was just warming up a Snickers or something, so he likes to eat it melted. I don't know. I'm trying to get you out of trouble here, Jay. Yeah, let's move on.
Let's move on to Jadon Sancho.
Jay, what are we talking about now?
Right, Sancho fatigue. Because, listen, we all do the news and we all do podcasts and we're all on social media and Jadon Sancho is a story, but it's a story that's pretty much going nowhere at the minute. And I feel like obligated to talk about it when you do the news. And like last time I did the news, I was like, the Sancho update is there isn't really one. We're in this sort of impasse. And it's like, I'm getting to the point now, I was chatting to my mate last night on messages. And I was saying, I'm almost getting to the point where if we moved on and got someone else, I wouldn't be that devastated. And now a week ago, I was different. I was like, we've got to get him. We need him. I'm not saying we don't need Jadon Sancho. We do. But if it ain't going to happen, we need to get someone in and we can't be spending our entire transfer window
messing about with this pre-season, whatever it's going to be, is going to be what? It's 3 weeks or something like that we're going to get from now?
Yeah.
3 weeks to a month?
Something like that.
It's not a long time. It's not like you're not getting the 2 months you're usually getting, so no one's going to get a break. And if you've not got these lads in the day we start this next set of training, which I'm guessing is going to probably, they'll probably get a week off this week, won't they? Probably be off until maybe Monday next week, Tuesday next week.
It's no break, is it?
There's no break, but then they have to start working. And if all the players he's not using for next year aren't there, and already we're not going to have them players, there's a problem. You wanted, you know, the whole thing about Bruno coming in a month late for everything. And even then, you know, that Wolves game, he took a game to kind of get into. You could see things, but it took a game for him to figure out what position he was best in, whether he was going to work in that and things like that. You want to get these players in, and they're not going to get that time.
I have to say I disagree, I think. I think that it's easy for us as fans and people who, the videos we do and the stuff that we do, we're looking for news and we're trying to get all the stories across to people and we're trying to talk about things as much as we do. And we, you know, everyone talks about United a lot, but we talk about United a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
And when the biggest story is Sancho, and that story, like you said, has stagnated and doesn't seem to move in at the moment, but as far as we're aware, talks are still ongoing. There's no Stokes dropping off a little baby to Sancho at the training ground, but talks are still ongoing. My view on it is, yes, I'm bored of hearing that nothing's happened, but I don't think we should, lucky I said Stoke, throw the baby out with the bathwater, as in we're sick of this story,
it's not that.
And I know that's not what you're saying.
No, my concern is, are we wasting our time now, and is it going to get to the point where the season kicks off, we haven't signed Jadon Sancho, and we haven't signed anyone else?
Well, we might be wasting our time, but I don't think we're at the point where we know that yet. Right. We've got till October till the transfer window ends. That's, what's the date? August, September. Nearly 3 months.
So that worries me slightly as well. Like you say, we're going into the season, we're going to go 10 games in before.
Well, I understand that, but we went half a season in before we got Bruno. And would you say we should have just got someone else because it took us that? Look at what Bruno's done to this squad. He's the reason we got third. He's the reason, you know, we got as far as we did in the Europa League. And you wouldn't just say, well, it took a long time to get him, so we should have got someone else.
We should have got Bruno in the summer.
We should have got him earlier. Yeah. But it's not like, see, that's the thing. I think we keep doing this with cutting
corners as well. We got Bruno, not even in January, the end of January. And it wasn't until the Burnley defeat.
I agree that all of a sudden
it was like, oh shit, we better add game.
Yeah.
We didn't get Haaland for whatever reason. We didn't. We got a Gallo, we all love a Gallo, but let's not kid ourselves. Mm. He isn't an Erling Haaland. And these sort of decisions matter. They make a difference. Mm. That, to me, gets you over one of them semi-finals and gets you into a final if you'd have got Haaland or you got Bruno a bit earlier. It could have. And it's like, now we're going to go into the season. All right. Yes, ideally, I want us to get Jadon Sancho. Mm. But if these talks don't go anywhere, then we either need to move on, or at least whilst they're going, start looking elsewhere. Mm. Because at the moment, we're not doing anything other than looking at Jane and Sancho and dealing with that. And we're not getting anywhere with it.
I don't know who that other option is. You know, there's been...
Well, there's talks of Kingsley Coman. Dembele. I'm not a big Dembele fan, but I'm just judging in that on how he played against the Scousers, where he should have scored. So
he's injured all the time.
Right, well, I think of that goal a lot.
I do. Because I would have made it 4-0 and that's over.
That's that over. That's that season dealt with. They come into this season on a bit more of a downer. It'd have been just so much happier for us. So, if he'd have scored that goal.
Yeah. So I'm back breaking to Sancho. His entire career down to those one chance there you against go. The Scousers. Ruined it
for you. I'm not trying to say that we shouldn't be focusing on other people.
Yeah.
But and also it would be ideal if he came in before they came back from training. All of these things would be ideal. But he's the perfect age. He's English. He's played in England. He's played in Manchester. He's lived in Manchester. Like, in terms of settling in, it's all perfect. I don't think we should just say, well, it's taking a bit long, this, and I'm bored.
I'm not saying that's the way things are going.
I
mean, you're right. For the sake of a 3 months for someone who could potentially be at the club for 14 years, obviously. No. But if we get, if Dortmund are saying, we're not going anywhere, we want 110 million quid, we're not budging, and we're not having it in instalments, we want it all up front. And United are at a point where they're going, we're not going to do that. Then,
well, of course, if that's where we're at.
Get the Grealish deal done.
You know, I'm not saying get no one done.
Go and get Van der Beek done, who's looking now that he's going to go to Barcelona.
Exactly, like Van der Beek, if we get him, that's got no bearing on the Sancho deal.
No, exactly. Get that done. Get it over the line.
My main worry is we go into this season with the same squad. Mm. And also, after a very short break, which is 2 weeks, like Marcus Rashford, for me, needs a proper break. It's not 2 weeks.
It's not like we can bring players into. At the minute, we can't even bring a sub on.
We ain't got subs. It's Mourinho tackle. Do you remember Juve at home? When we were getting beat at home off Juve, and he didn't make a substitution. And he had Fred, who he just bought on the bench. Yeah, and he was like, well, I didn't have any options. Ollie was almost like that against Sevilla.
There was 87 minutes before he makes a change. Had a great game in the last one, but that was his legs done. He did 30 minutes there. He can't do much more than that. That's kind of that's it. Yeah. Or Ighalo.
It's Dan James.
Bring on Ighalo. Yeah. Bring Ighalo.
I mean,
on.
We've got to at least be looking at other options and or other positions that need strengthening, because it isn't just the right wing that we need to strengthen, is it?
Well, that I agree with completely. We need to strengthen other areas almost as much as we need a right winger. Not quite. I think that's a priority, but I'm sick of nothing happening on the Sancho front. I want this deal to get sorted. I want all this to be done. But if it's going to take, let's say we don't sign him until after the first game of the season, but then we get him, take that over getting Ousmane Dembele on a 12-month loan.
There's definitely something in the fact that, you know, Dortmund are getting linked more and more with different players.
Yeah.
Linked with Zaha yesterday. The Depay one's still there as well. And I think that the fact that Lyon are still in the Champions League is making things harder as well, because I think that they're going to go, we're going to have Depay next season as your replacement for Sancho. If he's still in the Champions League, which I don't think anyone was expecting when they were playing Juventus and then City, one of them's going to knock him out, isn't it? And it didn't. So,
And it's a massive acquisition. This, imagine, like, there was a big company that was like, we're going to buy this other company for 120 million quid, and they're like, we think we'll get it done. The company, you know, they're willing to sell the shirt, all this stuff, but it might take a couple of months because, you know, this is a £120 million deal here. They're sticking on this point, we're sticking on that point. You'd be like, that's a big deal. Take your time, lads.
Yeah.
And we sort of, as United fans, have come to expect that United drag our heels and end up paying the fee and all that stuff. But United have never done a deal of this magnitude with a club that are so good at getting the money they want for players in Dortmund, and they've sort of been a big reason as to why the transfer market's gone mental as well.
Reports wondered that Ollie's got like 150 million budget, and then whatever he brings in from sales. So you don't know whether that might help. If you know, you mentioned earlier about like Chris Smalling, obviously Jones, Delow, Jesse, probably Andreas Pereira.
There's not a lot of money there, is there?
I mean, maybe you're getting 20, 30 million off the wage bill. I don't know if that goes towards your transfer budget. Mm. Maybe you can bring in 30, 40
million. It's like the slider on FIFA, where you've got your wage budget and you've got your transfer fee, and if you slide it, you can spend less on wages, but you get more on...
That's how it works, isn't it?
Wages, budget.
That's what Woodward's got in his office, but big one.
Probably.
Big abacus. Yeah. With like wages. Wages.
Man-child.
Yeah.
So maybe it is a case of like, they don't want to pay that now, because that's, as it stands at the minute, that's all we've got to play with.
That was kind of it with Maguire, wasn't it? Did Maguire come in after Lukaku went? I'm trying.
No, Lukaku was the last day, wasn't he? Lukaku was the final day of the season. we did like a transfer thing.
But we were waiting for that was it. The Fernandez one was kind of like it was. That was maybe we were waiting for Lukaku to go so they could potentially sign him. You know, and that was kind of the thing that he's not going to come in unless
it's weird because
I think there might be a bit of that.
I mean, you get to that point obviously with United where you like just pay the money, just pay the money. Mm. I don't care anymore. But do you know what I mean? Like, don't
it's
care.
Not as easy
just
as that.
Pay the money. But then obviously it can't just be Dortmund saying we want 120 million money all up front. And you go, okay,
you can't do that. Wheelbarrow.
Yeah, in the middle of a pandemic as well, which obviously does matter. Does affect. Yeah. All right, yeah, nobody's will do it. Even though most fans will be like, I don't care, just fucking pay it. The Glazers taking off out of this club as it is. Just do it. But then you don't want to be going, right, well, that's it. That's our transfer budget done now. We've got 20 million to buy two players, which in the current climate doesn't mean get two Dan James's.
And
it?
Also, a club of United size has to. It's one of these recent awful terms, but like optics, like what does this look like to the wider world? What is the sort of the moral implication of spending 120 million on someone in the current climate?
There's one club that got like quite wrong recently.
Who's
like
that?
Signing a £200,000 player whilst making
£200,000
a week, while making
people
redundant.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm saying. They did a tweet like, they didn't do a tweet. They were looking into their recruitment after the signing of Pepe. And there's question marks. And then 2 days later, they sacked someone, didn't they?
Yeah, it was like 50 people. Yeah. And also, you think like, oh, so that's good morale for Pepe then, is it? Your signing costs 60 people their job.
Well, it's not just that. They sat like, they would say they were looking at how that deal came out. And then they sacked the guy who was in charge of it or behind it. So it was almost like, oh, it's your fault we got this player who's shit. Or not shit necessarily.
But he's not 75 million.
Yeah, not a £72 million player.
He had one good season for a shit team in a shit league. And he's worth 75 million quid. But yeah, I think there was talk. I remember during the when the pandemic was sort of at its height and everything was in lockdown and all this, there was a long time where even the suggestion of getting Sancho was sort of laughed out. Like, well, that's not happening now. Imagine what it would look like if United did that. And you hear that from journalists. We've heard that from Henry Winter said a similar thing on Tier One, and I can't remember who else it was. They both said a similar thing where it was sort of like, there's an uncomfortability, not just financially, but morally, to spending this sort of money when the world is the way it is at the moment.
I think
all of these things have to be considered.
Because in a way, like, it would suit everyone if that was in instalments.
Yeah.
Even Dortmund could go, well, we got our money we wanted, and let's face facts, if you're going to get 120 million quid spaced out over 18 months or whatever, it ain't the end of the world during a pandemic. Mm. And you've already got that where you can say, right, we know we've got our money. You know, we can go and buy players off the back of
United
the money we've got coming
United
to us.
United are the add-ons.
And
though.
United, you know, can say, well, we've not paid it all up front. We've not just gone at 120 million or whatever. So you think that would make everyone happy. But I don't know. I don't know if Dortmund, because, you know, you talk about to a podcast, I think it was Paul Hirst who said there was a good relationship between United and Dortmund. They used to have, like, meetings and meals and stuff with the executives all got on well. And then it went a little bit south.
And Romano alluded to the same thing. Zorc's comments as well, where they're sort of like, what are you saying this shit for?
Yeah.
Like, I thought we were mates. Like that, like, you've come out and said the deal ain't happening. I thought we've been having a nice chat.
Unfriend.
And like I said as well, they all have dinners and then do all the meetings after.
Yeah.
Like until 2, 3, 4 in the morning, Romano saying that. It's how you've been able to quote your own podcast, isn't it?
Yeah, but rather than going, you know, we heard it from some source.
So
yeah, we spoke to him.
Yeah, that relationship does seem to have soured slightly, but I don't know, if it's going to
be. So you say, you're saying, see it through.
I'm sick of there being no update.
Yeah.
I'm sick of it playing into this seemingly correct vision of United's transfer policies where it's like, we don't know what we're doing, fuck it, we'll pay you what you want on the last day instead, which is a recurring nightmare that happens every 6 months. But I don't think, oh, well, I'm sick of it. Don't get him then. Don't want him then. It's taking too long for me.
I don't care.
So
just
don't
want
get
anyone
him.
But Jadon Sancho.
Yeah, I'm not buying into that either. If it takes a bit longer, if he doesn't start at the start of the season, all of these things are completely less than ideal. But if it means we get him,
we need
do it how we have to do it.
Yeah. We need someone
Where do you stand back? Is it a case of, we've just got to wait?
I agree with the Sancho thing in general, that he is the man for the job and he is the one that wants to come in and you want to spend as long as you can to get him in. But this whole thing of we can only do one transfer at once, you know, the squad should be strengthened already. City have done 2 signings while still being in the Champions League. Mm. Liverpool have strengthened their squad already.
Yeah.
Chelsea have strengthened theirs. Chelsea's got signed 2 players when they had a transfer ban.
Yeah.
That was fun, wasn't it? When they bought Kovacic and Pulisic when they had a transfer ban.
And
disgrace.
Then
absolute
disgrace. Before the window. You know, and why not Can we not get Jack Grealish over line? Can we not get that done? And then you're kind of thinking, do you know what? Yes, we want Sancho, but if on the start of next season our front three is Rashford, Martial, Greenwood, it's not too bad. But at least we could maybe give Pogba a rest if he's injured. Mm. You know, if he needs a break. You know, there's options at the minute. We don't have people we can bring on as subs. We have McTominay and Fred are the only two people that you kind of look back and go, well, they played a lot of games last season and we're all right.
Yeah,
they're the only two people on that bench that have had a run of games.
Being trusted, replaced their sort of opposite.
You know, Ighalo comes on, like him, but he's nowhere near the standard of Martial and Rashford. Nowhere near that standard. Dan James started okay, but again, nowhere near the standard of Mason Greenwood, and is a completely different player.
It's a shame with Dan James,
isn't it? Juan Mata, fantastic footballer, but if you have to start him in a game now, you know you're lacking a lot of legs in there, and then you've got the Lingards and Pereiras of the world that we all know aren't good enough. So can we just get a couple of players in, maybe? What, same about the defence as well. You know, Williams has done all right, but then we're playing Fosu Mensah, who I didn't think would ever play again for Manchester United. He seems like our second choice left back.
If after that game against Sevilla, you were saying we should have played Fosu Mensah, you're like, he's played two games in 3 years. And you're like, as soon as I saw Williams on the lineup, I knew he'd cost us the game. Brandon Williams played like 30 games a season, and we know roughly how good he is. And generally, he's pretty good. Yeah. And Fosu Mensah has played two games for us in 3 years, and you're acting like he would have saved the day. He looked quite rushed, as you'd expect. Allow Fosu Mensah to come back. You don't stick him in a Europa League semi-final, because he could have just as easily made a mistake. Like, people are just like... Any problem that happened, there was a clear and obvious way around it that someone didn't see, and therefore they should be sacked.
Sure. Right, just before we wrap up, who's your Wally of the Week?
Oh, that's dead easy, isn't it? It's dead easy.
Who's yours?
The lad on Twitter. That I can't remember his name, because I've never really heard of him. Should have had a press pass, though, apparently.
Oh, yes, we didn't even mention him, did we? That nicely segued. Sorry, I was getting
I thought that's the curly finger,
but yes, Wally of the Week, mine is would be Mr. Keegan. I don't like to slag off fellow journalists, but Mike Keegan had a bit of a shocker when he criticised the fact that Andy Mitton, who's been covering United for about 20-odd years...
I think he's one of the lowly most, fanzine...
Yeah, one of the chancer. Most respected journalists, football journalists in the world, got a press pass. And then there was a little bit of mild, almost jingoism in there as well, because he was writing for The National, based in Abu Dhabi. Well, really?
Well, no, that was what his affiliation is. Yeah, but he writes for The Athletic. Yeah.
Mike Keegan from The Daily Mail wasn't happy that Andy Mitton got a press pass for the game for Sevilla against United, which was ridiculous, and everyone was like... And the way Mike Keegan wrote an article on it, he actually wrote an article on this nonsense, fanzine editor, because Andy, obviously, we had on Fanzine Friday last week, edits United We Stand... So it was an absolute non-story, and he just made Mike Keegan made himself look like a bitter person. He didn't know what he was talking about. So yeah, you're right. He's my Wally of the Week.
I'm going to go Paul Ince, just because he's a bit funny, wasn't it? Wally, you can call someone a Wally. That's a soft insult.
We like the Wally of the Week.
It can sometimes be serious.
Yeah, you know, it's not. We don't want to be too trolly.
No. Wally, not trolley. But Wally of the Week, he said that, you know, Arsenal didn't have statues. The only two players he picked, they have statues for both of those players.
He's actually a comedy genius. He goes in the break, he goes, get on this, lads. Watch this in a minute. Right, keep a straight face.
Just keep a straight face.
Right, don't crack up when I say this. Don't correct me. And then he says it. Or do you think he's just not terribly bright?
I think he's not terribly bright. Bless him.
So you're going, who are you going with?
Mike Keegan.
To
write a full article on it, and not just... Because if he'd have sent a tweet saying, didn't get a press pass, and tagged him in it and maybe said...
But the way he did it as well, he was like, he didn't want to mention Andy Mitton.
It was the international incident that he put in the title as well.
He said it caused an international incident. We've gone to DEFCON 2 now, because Andy Mitton's in the Sevilla versus United press conference.
It caused an international incident because you lot spat your dummy out and went, can you have a look? Because they've given it to him instead of us.
What was it? There's only like 10 press passes issued.
Yeah.
And he was upset that it was someone who'd been covering... Man United for
since the 90s.
Since he was 15.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, mate. Sorry. Like,
come on.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Daily Mail nicked my tweet as well. I've emailed the guy that used it and asked him to take it down, but I don't know if I'll get anywhere. Not about that, obviously, because they won't print what I put on. That would be completely counterproductive for him. Right. This has been the Devil's Podcast for Stretford Paddock. I'll get that one right. Mm-hmm. That's been Joe Smith. Joe, what have you got coming up this week? Can we get the usual shenanigans?
We've got some usual shenanigans coming on Late Night Live on Friday. Let us know as well in the comments if you think that United should have sold Lukaku.
Let us know.
Let us know.
Because I want to see a little bit of... Because I'm sure there'll be some people who think we should have kept him.
Yeah, you know, we're open to all opinions, even the wrong ones. Baggers, what are you up to this week?
I'll be here. I'll be on all sorts. Don't know yet. I don't know yet, but I'm sure I'll be on.
Playing it cool. Respect.
Playing it cool. Playing just it keep, cool. Your, keep your account for him. Yeah, he'll be there. I'll be there. Do you know what I mean? When you least expect it.
Exactly.
That's been Joe. That's been Baggers. I've been Jay. This has been Stretford Paddock, the Devil's Podcast. Don't forget to hit like, share, and subscribe. Thanks for watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.